sister. We paid them back some for what they did to us. Didn't we?
Trader and Ryan could see that the wound was mortal for both Edna and Evangelina. Life was fast draining away from the surviving head. The cheeks had grown even more pale, the eyes losing focus.
I can't feel you anymore, sister.
Her fingers were opening and closing, the legs in their borrowed uniform not moving.
I'm sorry we fought so. Sister, I loved you.
Ladro Buford had regained consciousness. He was aware of the moment of death for the poor, bedeviled creature that he and his colleagues had given such a tormented and distorted life. Ryan lowered both heads to the tiles very gently, and then straightened. He looked at Buford, then turned to Trader.
You know what I hope, Trader? I hope this little fuck on the operating table refuses to tell us what's happening so we can work on him a while. I swear I'd like that.
Trader held his knife to the throbbing artery beneath the little scientist's ear, while Ryan carefully removed the inflatable gag.
Don't hurt me. I'll tell you anything you need to know. Just, God, please don't hurt me. I beg you.
If Ryan's dead, then we have no choice. If he's alive, out in the snow, we still have to make our own break.
What about Christy, John? I'm seriously frightened for her.
I agree. Morning's about gone. Time to get out of this place.
Dean had been crying in a corner of the room where they were all imprisoned. But everyone had been tactful about it and pretended not to notice. Now, red-eyed and sniffling, he'd rejoined the Council of War.
I reckon Dad'll try and break into this shitter's hole as soon as he gets through the snow. He and Trader will need help. We can give it.
That's an ace on the fucking line, young'un. Anything we can do will help.
If I may express my opinion?
Sure you can, Doc. Just as long as you keep it short.
I was merely proposing that if Ryan were here with us, he could carefully formulate a proper plan, taking in true military fashion the enemy dispositions, as well as calculating our own strengths and weaknesses. He would not be the man to simply leap, winking, into the great unknown. If it is to be done, then 'twere well it were done quickly when 'tis done. As the justly famous Bard of Avon so succinctly put it.
Doc! By the time you get to the end of this, we'll have died of old age.
Temper, temper, my dearest lady. Hope, charity, and patience. There abideth these three, Dr. Wyeth. And the greatest of all of these is patience.
Fine. Get on with what you have to say, you pompous old fart.
Thank you. I shall. If it were not for the sad fact that I have momentarily disremembered what it was, if you will allow me a moment or two?
Enough talk, Doc. It's time for a combat plan. I've been thinking about it since they locked us up in here. They got our blasters, but some of us still have weapons. Doc's got his sword stick. You got throwing knives, Jack. So here's what I suggest we do.
Ellison, the sec boss, passed the two men with their scatterguns who were on watch in the passage outside. He swaggered into the prisoner's room, proudly wearing Doc's beloved Lama in his belt. The twisted scar at the corner of his mouth curled in derision every time he visited them.
Snow stopped. Sure you don't want to break the window and jump out to join your dead friends, One Eye and the Old Timer?
Though Ellison didn't know it, that had been one of the options that they'd been discussing only a few minutes earlier, rejecting it mainly on account of the noise it would entail. The glass was very thick, and it would take enormous force to splinter it. Then you had to clear away the loose shards, or you'd cut yourself to ribbons going through. A rope of sheets might have reached the ground, but it would have taken at least 5 minutes for all of them to have gotten away down the face of the building, past the windows of the busily occupied first floor. The chances of being caught were too great.
We'd like to see Christy.
Mildred was standing by the window, as far away as possible from the door, gazing mournfully out at the bleak landscape.
Sure you would, lady.
When can we?
What?
It looks like we're taking the least worst option.
What? Shit! Why don't you fucking people speak up?
Ellison walked to stand right by Mildred and grabbed her by the shoulder.
Can't you do anything right?
We do this right.
As Ellison turned, Jack hurled the leaf-bladed weighted knife from his right hand with a crisp snap of the wrist. At a range of less than 12 feet, he couldn't miss. The honed steel burst Ellison's right eye open in a flourish of clear liquid, followed instantly by a wave of bright blood. The taped hilt of the thrown knife protruded from the ruptured socket like some obscene ornament. Ellison let go of the Mossberg. Dean was right at his side, prepared for that, and grabbed the shotgun. As the sec man's mouth opened, Mildred moved from behind him and clamped both hands over his mouth, shutting off his cry. Mildred and Abe supported the dying man, laying him gently on the floor.
Done.
One down and only 5 or 6 dozen more to go.
Doc stooped to pluck the Lama from the dead man's belt.
This would be mine, I believe.
The corpse's scarred mouth was twisted in a rictus of horror, the one good eye staring blankly at the ceiling.
The end of friend Ellison. Ugly son of a bitch, wasn't he?
Precisely at that moment, the door of their room was flung open. Another Ellison strode in. He walked toward the group of friends, their bodies blocking the view of the corpse on the floor.
What are you doing?
There was Ellison, stone dead at their feet. And here was Ellison, alive as could be, standing less than 6 feet away from his own corpse. Jack's knife still rammed into the weeping eye socket. Doc walked quickly from his place in the circle and stepped right up to Ellison, the Lama concealed behind his back.
What the fuck do you want, you old goat?
I want only to speed you along to meet the Dark Ferryman of the Styx.
Doc pressed the .63 caliber gold embossed shotgun barrel of the revolver into the sec man's midriff as hard as he could. The charge ripped through the man's belly, tearing his intestines to bloody rags of sinew. Doc stepped quickly back as blood gushed over the toes of his cracked knee boots.
Is that his twin?
No. Dean, remember you thought you heard that dying man whisper a word? Said it sounded like coning to you?
Yeah?
It wasn't coning. Dean, it was cloning. I'm sure of it. Remember those twin dogs? That's what the sick bastards are doing here. They're cloning, copying people. One of these would be the original Ellison, and the other is a copy of him, perfect in virtually every detail. Probably genetically engineered and matched from a DNA sample. We should find Christy and get out as fast as we can. There's true evil here.
Luckily, the sound of the shot hadn't penetrated through the soundproof door to the guards in the corridor. JB took one of the pair of matched silver Mossberg scatter guns, tossing the second one to Abe. Jack retrieved his knife from the eye of the first Ellison. Doc reloaded the spent .63 caliber shell from one of his deep pockets. Mildred and Dean each took a knife from the bodies.
Right. We'll take out the two sick men now, as quick and quiet as we can. Bring them in here like we talked about and kill them.
Then we try to find a way across the top of the atrium at this level, into the research wing and look for Christy, then run for it and hope Ryan and Trader eventually link up with us.
That is indeed the plan, Dr. Wyeth. Of course, if you have invented a better option, then I am sure we would all be delighted to hear it.
Fuck you, Doc. It's the least worst option, isn't it? And so far, so good. Let's carry on.
Mildred walked up to the door, Ellison's knife behind her back. Jack stationed himself against the wall beside the door, his weighted knife in hand. One of the sec men opened the door a crack, expecting the Ellisons.
Hello, boys. I was wondering if you big, strong fellas could give me a little hand with something.
All right, people, let's move it.
Mildred took the job of guiding them, using the experience of her previous wreck.
The operating rooms and main research labs are down here. But we need to sneak across toward the outer passage that runs behind the rooms.
They were nearing the farther end of the wing, where Mildred had spotted the poor, ruined victims of the scientists' crazed research.
Someone coming. One person.
The last two side doors had been locked and bolted, so there was nowhere to run and hide. The only option was to stand and fight.
Take him with one of your knives, Jack, as soon as he appears.
Jack reached behind his back under the